Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life without taking ourselves too seriously. I'm Brad Kearns, New York Times bestselling author, former number 3 world-ranked professional triathlete, and Guinness World Record Masters athlete. I connect with experts in diet, fitness, and personal growth and deliver short breather shows where you get simple, actionable tips to improve your life right away. Let's explore beyond the hype, hacks, shortcuts, and sciencey talk to laugh, have fun, and appreciate the journey. It's time to be rad. We want to make sure we get really good, relaxed measurements instead of having racing thoughts while we're measuring our morning heart rate for 2 minutes, thinking that. Hey, man, how's your sexual function? Oh, uncomfortable talking about it? Look, we talk about our injured knees, our belly fat, so it's time to get focused on function. I want to tell you about Gainswave. This is a cutting-edge protocol where a handheld device sends low-intensity shock waves into your penile blood vessels to stimulate a healing response and promote increased blood circulation and the growth of new blood vessels. A skilled practitioner puts the Gainswave magic wand onto your magic wand, and after a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results. Gainswave reports an 80% success rate. Now, we know that popping pills is a popular penile protocol, but when you're working with clogged pipes, you just get a temporary band-aid effect when you take prescription drugs. Gainswave addresses the cause of age-related decline by stimulating growth factors and activating dormant stem cells. Translation: stronger, harder, more sustainable erections. I learned about Gainswave from my podcast guest, Dr. Judson Brandeis at the Brandeis MD Clinic in Northern California, and there's a robust network of Gainswave providers that you can find on their website near you. Complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, and while it's great for ED, Gainswave is for any man that wants to combat the effects of aging and get a little boost for your A-game. So please visit gainswave.com/brad. That's gainswave.com/brad to find a practitioner in your area, and you can take advantage of my special promotion. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. You have nothing to lose and lots to gain from gainswave.com/brad. Okay, welcome to a new episode in the ongoing series of symptoms and signs of overreaching, overtraining, burnout. And this content is inspired by the amazing, comprehensive look at overtraining, unlike anything you will find anywhere. We put together the most fantastic, comprehensive resource, spent a long time on it. I intended this to be the go-to for everyone to have a complete and full understanding, whether you're working with people, coaching, or to know your body and yourself, and especially how the stress response can fool you into continuing to slam workouts and burn the candle at both ends, because the early stages called overreaching, your body and your mind is actually performing at a heightened state due to the chronic overproduction of stress hormones that gives you that initial boost for however long it lasts, and then you crash and burn and fall off a cliff. And that happened to me on notable occasions a few times in my triathlon career, where I thought I was world beating, nothing could stop me. I'd wake up every morning full of energy and enthusiasm, not sore, not stiff. I'd go out there and slam another 84-mile bike ride in the mountains and then head over to pool and kick some butt at the Masters swim workout, thinking that all that's going to happen is I'm going to rise up the rankings to be the baddest man on the universe, and then was slapped in the face with an extreme crash and burn episode into sustained burnout and lack of production of even baseline levels of stress hormones that really messed me up and barely made it so I'm barely functional through the day. And this is essentially what burnout is occurring all over the place, not just with athletes, but with people who are checking in with diagnoses like Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all these things that are indicative of stress, rest, burnout. And so we want to get steer clear of that, especially with athletic and fitness goals, so that we can continue to progress without the interruption of these crash and burn cycles. So on this episode, I want to focus specifically on the cardiac symptoms of overtraining. So we're going to talk about how this manifests in heart and circulatory. So the first one is pretty obvious and popular, and it's the elevated resting heart rate. So if you're in chronic overproduction of stress hormones, you're going to wake up and your heart rate is going to be outside of that normal baseline. So I strongly advocate tracking your morning heart rate. I did so for many, many years, and I would usually land in an average zone of 42 to 44 beats per minute when I was a professional triathlete. And if I was 10% over that, so that would be up to 48 or above, that was a reliable sign that I was in this elevated resting heart rate, which is a sign of poor recovery or chronic overproduction of stress hormones. So we got to look for that 10% or more above normal baseline, and also establish a normal baseline over a long period of time. Same with HRV, which I'm going to talk about shortly. You don't know what your normal or your average is until you've tracked it for a long time. Because if you tracked it starting in September, and now you've been measuring HRV for 5 weeks now, we don't know if you're in a 5-week cycle of chronic overproduction of stress hormones that's affecting some of these numbers. So you should land at nice, tight baseline ranges, and then you have something to track. Even when you wake up with an elevated resting heart rate, right, you're supposed to curtail exercise and all that great recommendations, but sometimes workout performances may be fine because you're in this overreaching state where your blood is pumping full of stress hormones, especially in the morning, right, as it's supposed to. But that elevated morning heart rate and you're feeling a little jittery, a little amped, you're probably not going to have any decline in workout performance. So this is a leading indicator, as the economists say, such as the unemployment rates are a leading indicator for economic growth or economic contraction. And so we're just looking at predictors here. So pay attention. And if your heart rate is above that normal, especially if this is happening for more than one day. And I've also had this occur frequently when I'm measuring HRV or resting heart rate where, oh, it's a little high. And then I get up, use the bathroom, come back to bed, take a few calming breaths, and then measure again, and it's normal. So we want to make sure we get really good, relaxed measurements instead of having racing thoughts while we're measuring our morning heart rate for 2 minutes, thinking that we can't afford this 2 minutes because we're going to be late. That's not going to give you a good indicator. Okay. the next one on the list is high blood pressure. I'm not sure a lot of healthy, fit athletes are prone to checking their blood pressure frequently, but it might be an interesting idea, especially you can buy one of the home units for probably 20, 30 bucks on the internet, and then slap that cuff on and get some readings perhaps throughout the day. So you get a good baseline and notice whether your overactive fight or flight mechanisms, particularly the excess aldosterone production, the other key stress hormone that regulates sodium balance in the body and has an influence on blood pressure, that can be a nice indicator if you're inclined. Again, I'm going to be wanting you to measure that frequently so you don't just go to the doctor one day and it was bigger than last year, so you must be overtrained. We're talking about getting more data to really make good evaluations here. Then we go to the lower than baseline range in your HRV, your heart rate variability score. I've done an entire show or two on the concept of HRV. One of them's an interview with Rhonda Collier, and the other one was me describing it so you can learn what HRV is all about if you're not familiar, but it measures the variation in beat-to-beat intervals of your heartbeats. And that's right. If your heart rate is 60 beats a minute, it does not mean that the heart is beating metronomically at one beat per second. It can be a variety of things. And it's actually healthy to have greater variation in beat-to-beat intervals than to have a heart that's beating metronomically, because a metronomically beating heart is indicative of overstress patterns. You're panting breathing and your heart pounding like a metronome indicates that you're a flood of of stress hormones, whereby actually each inhalation and each exhalation is governed by respectively the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. I might have had that backwards, but what you need to know is that the inhales and exhales are treated differently by the autonomic nervous system and influence. And so you want to have some healthy variation in beat-to-beat intervals. And with my app that's available on the iOS, the Apple Store, it's called BradBeat HRV, you can export an actual spreadsheet that is an EKG report, just like you get at the doctor. And this spreadsheet will show each time interval from your heartbeats. So when I'm looking at mine, it'll say 0.84, 0.82, 0.96, 1.03, 0.93, 0.82, 0.87, that's 0.87 of a second. So it's showing the actual split time of each heartbeat. And so what I mentioned there was some variation when I'm going 0.84, and then there's one that's 1.02, and then there's 0.93. That is a sign of a healthy, strong, well-rested cardiovascular system. But if you were to export a spreadsheet that showed 1.01, 1.04, 0.99, 1.02, 0.98, 1.03, get it? The tighter, more metronomic heartbeat, that's a sign of either a weak cardiovascular system, such as in an elderly patient who does not have strong cardiovascular function, or an athlete who is chronically overproducing stress hormones. So HRV has become a really popular way to track recovery and overall fitness competency as you want to see improvement in HRV. Now, the HRV takes this complex EKG data. It's called the RMMSD, the root square, the root median square something differential. I might have botched that, but it's taking these values and converting it into a simple 1 through 100 scale. So when you walk around town, you can say, hey, what's your HRV? Mine's usually in the 70s, right? So it's converting the variation in beat-to-beat intervals to a score. And the higher the HRV, the better your cardiovascular function and your state of restedness. However, it's not something you compare to other people. You're comparing only to yourself. So for a variety of reasons, some people might have a typical baseline HRV range that's in the 70s, and other people might have it in the 80s, which is actually super high. And that would be the sign of perhaps an elite athlete. But you're also going to find elite athletes that might be in the 70s kicking ass on another elite athlete who has HRV in the 80s. So don't get too worked up that your HRV is lower than your training partner, but carefully measure every single day in the morning in a very relaxed state after using the bathroom, getting back into bed, and really taking the time for some relaxed breathing. And the HRV test, as seen on the BradBeat app, will take 3 minutes. So you lay there quietly for 3 minutes. Your heartbeats are counted. The beat-to-beat intervals are measured. The report is generated. And then you log it into your database and establish a baseline over a long period of time. And if your HRV comes in lower than baseline, so if you are usually a 73 type of person and you see a 55, that means you're beating more metronomically and you're clearly stressed. And if over time your HRV goes from an average of 65 up to 70, up to 72, that is a strong indication that you're building a stronger cardiovascular system. So another great thing to track and notice those times when you're below average lasting again for a couple few days is a much more reliable indicator than a single test that's out of balance. And I do want to make an important caveat here that a higher than normal baseline HRV, most people are inclined to high five because that means they're really getting in shape or something to that effect. But Joel Jamison, perhaps the world's leading expert on HRV as it applies to athletic training, made an important point that when you're parasympathetic dominant, showing a greater variation in beat-to-beat intervals, it could mean that you're so fried, that your sympathetic nervous system is so fried, that you're underproducing stress hormones and that you're exhausted and is showing an abnormally high HRV. So maybe ignore this if this is the first time you're hearing about HRV, but if you're an HRV devotee, watch out for those super high levels that are outside of baseline range. You want to see yourself in baseline range to indicate healthy stress-rest balance. And finally, I'll close the show talking about arrhythmia. We've done a lot of content on this disturbing, increasing incidence of athletes coming up with serious and often permanent heart problems due to years, decades of chronic overtraining patterns. And it's a really bad deal. It's now getting identified in mainstream cardiology. There's a nickname for it called the Pheidippides heart syndrome or the runner's heart syndrome, where the electrical signaling of the heart actually gets compromised by overtraining patterns and repeated scarring and inflammation of the delicate right ventricle of the heart, thereby throwing off electrical signaling and causing a clinically diagnosed arrhythmia or many other conditions that you might have heard bantered about, especially when the athletes tragically drop dead from a heart problem and it turns out they had a cardiomyopathy or ventricular tachycardia or premature ventricular contractions, or the most common one that athletes develop is called atrial fibrillation. So that's when you get this scarring, inflammation, and bad news in the very delicate heart muscle that's working hard every second of your life to answer to your demands. It doesn't have a choice. It doesn't have a brain to decide, no, I'm not going to train today. I'm just going to stay at my resting heart rate. Forget you. Nope. It's going to pump blood while you try to run down the road when you shouldn't be. So when you develop a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, that's a real turning point in life, and we want to take corrective action before we get there. So if you experience something like mild transient episodes of rapid heartbeats or skip beats followed by a quick return to normal rhythm, this is also a common condition among general society, and maybe you're going to have that your whole life. Both my parents had arrhythmias for years and decades, and absolutely no trouble to their overall general health. I've experienced these over my time, and I had particular severity when I was under a lot of stress in the workplace one time, and not healthy with my training and recovery. I just was having something was wrong with my system. It's probably due to being a parent of young children, a long commute, and a challenging job just like everyone else. But something was off of my system. And one of the symptoms I experienced was these arrhythmias, where my heart would flutter really quickly for three or four beats. Then I'd feel a pause. And then I'd kick back into normal heartbeat. And it's very worse for a period of several weeks. I had a rapid heartbeat. So I'd put on my heart rate monitor and be at 130 when I was sitting at my desk, and it would last for an hour or half an hour. And that was pretty scary. But in many cases in modern life, again, this is not medical advice, and I would certainly go see a cardiologist when you have concerns with your heart, and obviously also to get routine checkups and tests, especially if you're a longtime hard training endurance athlete. I did that myself. I got a treadmill stress test to put my heart under maximum, absolute maximum performance level and see how it looked on the EKG graph, which is vastly better information than seeing how your EKG looks at rest. Okay. So get checked if you have any concerns. But if you have these transient episodes, it could indicate a state of sympathetic dominance or chronic overproduction of stress hormones. So it might not be a major serious heart crisis, right? But you know, the heart fluttering in your chest is no fun. It can be cause for alarm. And I'm saying that it should be when you consider that you're out of stress rest balance, but don't get super alarmed and thinking that you're about to have a heart attack, but definitely go get checked out. Is that a good way to cover this from all angles and not offend anybody, especially the cardiologist listening? Okay, so these are the cardiac-related symptoms of overtraining. that elevated resting heart rate, high blood pressure, a lower than normal heart rate variability score, and my little secret caveat, a higher than normal heart rate variability score. And then finally, arrhythmia, even if they're mild transient symptoms, we don't want to mess around. We want to take corrective action and get back into autonomic nervous system balance. Thank you for listening, watching the show. Much more to come in our final section, which is going to encompass the behavioral symptoms of overtraining, such as your mood and your ability to regulate energy and appetite and things like that during the day. So thanks for hanging in there with me. Check out primalhealthcoach.com and the Primal Fitness Expert Certification course for the greatest comprehensive covering of overtraining you'll find anywhere. Have a great day. I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad. Thank you so much for listening to the BRAD podcast. We appreciate all feedback and suggestions. Email podcast@bradventures.com and visit bradkearns.com to download 5 free ebooks and learn some great long cuts to a longer life, how to optimize testosterone naturally, become a dark chocolate connoisseur, and transition to a barefoot and minimalist shoe lifestyle.